Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
You are free, and if the Son set you free, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that you are free indeed. Glory to God. We thank God for the opportunity to be here, amen, to receive on tonight in the name of Jesus. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to get straight into our study of lesson on tonight as we continue on with the study of praying the promises of God according to the word of God, amen, and what the scripture says, amen. For we know the promises of God is yes and amen. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for new mercies and new grace, oh God. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you, oh God, for your word is true. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done. We thank you for your shed blood on Calvary that redeems us, that sanctifies us, amen, that heals us, amen, hallelujah, that makes all things new. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. We ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that you will open up our channels of our spirit so that we can receive from you right now, great and mighty in your word, oh God. Let there be a great pouring in of your knowledge and wisdom. Lord God, let us hear from you, Lord God, hallelujah. We silence the mouth of the enemy right now that they will not be able to speak no evil against our lives. We come against the spirit of distraction. We come against every hindering spirit, lying spirit. We come against every spirit of procrastination, limitation, stagnation, spirit of destruction. We come against every unteachable spirit, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against the spirit of unbelief, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for this deliverance, and any spirit that's operating us on this line, outside of the Holy Spirit. We command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. We enter in by faith as we receive on tonight, oh God, that we will stand on your promises, oh God, which is yes and amen. Lord, help us to receive on tonight. Amen. Help us to walk according to your will, oh God. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by faith, we bind our will to your will and our mind to the mind of Christ, that the mind of Christ may arise and operate in us right now. And we thank you for, Lord. We thank you for the God. Help us, oh God, to do thy will all the days of our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. We're going to enter in on tonight in our study. Again, we are still in the lesson of praying the promises of God and just really breaking it down, the word of God and what the Bible is saying. Amen. What the word of God is saying to us as we are the believers of Christ. Amen. As we live a life of Christ, as we decree and declare by faith that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Amen. You are made right by faith. I want us to understand you are made right by faith. According to the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 16, hallelujah. And I'm coming out the New King James Version, chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it may be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Amen. Who is the father of us all. And that is Romans chapter 14, verse 16. So Apostle Paul explains that Abraham had pleased God through Abraham's faith alone. So before he had ever heard about the rituals that would become so important to the Jewish people, we too are saved by faith plus nothing. Amen? By faith plus nothing. It is not by loving God and doing good that we are saved. Neither is it by faith plus love or by faith plus good works. We are saved only through faith in Christ, trusting him to forgive all of our sins. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, if you're just now tuning in or getting on the line today, we're still on the lesson of praying the promises of God and knowing the promises of God of yes and amen and what those promises is and what are we called to do and how we should live and walk by faith, amen, and not by sight, trusting and believing God for it all, amen, and having an unshakable hope, amen. The Apostle Paul, church, loved to talk about Abraham. So in his 14 letters, he made 19 references to the patriarch. He spoke of Abraham more than he spoke of anyone except Jesus. Abraham was Paul's poster child for salvation by faith, amen. So Abraham remembered and predated the law of Moses. Abraham was saved by God before God gave the law. Apostle Paul says in Romans 4 and 3, Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was made right with God. Amen. So when Abraham's faith credit to him as righteousness. So we're talking about when was this? When was Abraham's faith credited to him as righteousness? It was before Abraham had done any work. I want us to understand that. This is before Abraham had done any work. This has a huge ramification. I want us to understand that if Abraham was saved apart from lineage and law, then what does this say about Gentiles and lawbreakers like us? Or like me. See, I am not the bloodline of Abraham, nor have I kept the law to perfection. Does God have a place for people like me? Does God have a place for people like us? The answer is yes. Those who trust in Christ are included in the blessing of Abraham. Amen. We are seen as part of the family. So gone is the fear of falling short. Amen. Gone is the fear of falling short. Gone is the anxious quest for right behavior. Gone are the nagging questions. Have I done enough? Am I good enough? God's promise to Abraham was salvation by faith. God's promises to you and me is salvation by faith. Just faith. Stand on this promise. God's promise to Abraham was salvation by faith, and God's promise to you and me is salvation by what again? Faith. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the promises of God, we look in the book of Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, that's the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 through 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 through 6. The Bible reads in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 through 6. The Bible says in verse 5, then, hallelujah, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him in verse, hallelujah, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we look here in these two scriptures in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 through 6, we're talking about the promises from God. Abraham wasn't promised wealth or fame. He already had that. Instead, God promised descendants like the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. See, too numerous to count, amen? To appreciate the vast number of stars scattered through the sky, you need to be like Abraham, away from and distraction lights or buildings, or pick up a handful of sand and try to count the grains. It can't be done. Just when Abraham was despairing of ever having an heir, God promised descendants too numerous to imagine. So God's blessings are beyond our imaginations. Amen. And when we look in verse 6, it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So although Abraham had been demonstrating his faith through his action, it was his belief in the Lord, not his actions, that made, hallelujah, that made Abraham right with God. See, we too can have a right relationship with God by trusting him. Our outward actions, church attendance, prayer, and good deeds, will not by themselves make us right with God. A right relationship is based on faith. Hallelujah. The heartfelt inner confidence that God is who he says he is and does what he says he will do, right actions will follow naturally as a byproduct. Amen? As byproducts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking about the prayer of the promises of God, understanding what those promises are that God made to his children, to us. Amen. When we look in the book of Acts, amen, chapter 4, the book of Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts chapter 4, I'll give you all some time to get there. The book of Acts chapter 4, hallelujah, hallelujah. You find Acts is right after John. So the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible reads in the New King James Version, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And in the Message Bible, it says, salvation comes nor, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, in the Message Bible, it says, salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one. Only this one. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. So many people react negatively to the fact that there is no other name than that of Jesus to call on for salvation. Yet this is not something the church decided. It is the specific teaching of Jesus himself. If God designed Jesus to be the Savior of the world, no one else can be his equal. Christians are to be open-minded on many, I want you to understand, on many issues, but not on how we are saved from sin. No other religious teacher could die for our sins. No other religious leader, no other religious teacher came to earth as God's only son. No other religious teacher rose from the dead. Our focus should be on Jesus, whom God offered as the way to have an eternal relationship with himself. Amen? There is no other name or way. There is no other way. I want you to understand that there is no other name or way that can save us but Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we look in here, again, as we're studying the promises of God and praying the promises of God, amen, for our life and standing on it according to the scripture, amen, according to what God has promised us as his children. When we look in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 5, which we went over just here previously, if you go to Romans chapter 5, I mean chapter 4, verse 5, hallelujah, Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And I'll give you a second to get there. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. The Bible says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. His faith is accounted for righteousness. Again, that's Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Amen. So when some people learn that they are saved by God through faith, they start to worry. I'm going to say that again. When some people learn that they are saved by God through faith, they start to worry. Do I have enough faith? This is what they wonder. Is my faith strong enough to save me? These people miss the point. It is Jesus Christ who saves us, not our feelings or our actions. And he is, I want you to understand, he is strong enough to save us no matter how weak our faith is. Jesus offers us salvation as a gift because he loves us, amen? Not because we have earned it through our powerful faith, hallelujah. So what then is the role of faith? Faith is believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and reaching out to accept his wonderful gift of salvation, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about the promises of God and praying these promises of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says when we go to the book of Philippians, I'll give you all time to write it down and get to it. Philippians chapter 3. Like I said, I'll give you all some time to get there. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll be in verse 4 through 7. So if you want to write that down, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. All right. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 7, though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised, hallelujah, the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. So these I have counted loss for Christ. And this is Apostle Paul speaking here in these verses, in verses 4 through 7. So when we look at these verses, at a first glance, it looks like Paul is boasting about his achievements. But he is actually doing the opposite. He's showing that human achievements, no matter how impressive, cannot earn a person salvation and eternal life with God. Apostle Paul had impressive credentials. His upbringing, nationality, his family background, his inheritance, his orthodoxy, his activity and morality. I want us to understand that his conversion to faith in Christ wasn't based on what he had done, but on God's grace. Apostle Paul did not depend on his works to please God, because even the most impressive credentials fall short of God's holy standards. Are you dependent on your mother, your father that are Christian, your Christian parents or church affiliation, or just being good to make you right with God? See, credentials and accomplishments or reputation cannot earn salvation. Salvation comes only through faith in Christ. Hallelujah. So Apostle Paul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, a heritage greatly esteemed among the Jews. So from this tribe it had come Israel's first king, Saul. See, the tribe of Benjamin and Judah were the only two tribes to return to Israel after the exile. So Apostle Paul was also a Pharisee, a member of a very devout Jewish sect that scripturally kept its own numerous rules in addition to the laws of Moses. So Jewish listeners would have been impressed by both of these credentials. When we look in verse 6, why did Paul, a devout Jewish leader, persecute the church? Agreeing with the leaders of the religious establishment, Apostle Paul thought that Christianity was heretical and a blasphemous because Jesus did not meet his expectations of what the Messiah would be like. So Apostle Paul assumed that Jesus' claims were false and therefore wicked. So in addition, he saw Christianity as a political menace because it threatened to disrupt the fragile harmony between the Jews and the Roman government. So when Apostle Paul in verse 7 spoke of his gain, he was referring to his credentials and credits and successes. So after showing that he could beat the Judaizers at their own games, or being proud of who they were and what they had done, Apostle Paul showed that it was the wrong game. So be careful of considering past achievements so important that they get in the way of your relationship with Christ. In verse 8, after Apostle Paul considered everything, and let me read verse 8 for you here. I'm sorry. I want to read verse 8 for you and understand that verse 8, what it's saying. Verse 8 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Amen. There's just a little add-on to the lesson tonight. So when we look at this, Apostle Paul considered everything he had accomplished in his life. He said that it was all lost when compared with the greatness of knowing Christ. Hallelujah. This is a profound statement about values, you all, church family. A personal relationship with Christ is more important than anything else. Knowing that you are rich in Christ is beyond any amount of money, a position, a power that you may have. Amen. Amen. So this is a profound statement about our values and relationships with Christ and understanding that it's more important than anything else. So to know Christ should be our ultimate goal. So consider your values. Do you place anything above your relationship with Christ? If you prioritize or if your priorities are wrong, how will you reorder them today while you still have time? Amen. While we still have time. When we look in the book of Hallelujah, when we continue here in our lesson, if you're just entering in at this time on our lesson, we're still having a continuation of praying the promises of God. And let us pray right now. We're going to pray as we continue on in this lesson. Let us pray, Father, we receive so far in this lesson as we decree and declare the promises of God. Heavenly Father, sometimes we convince ourselves that we need to earn your salvation. We feel like we should do more, be more, and achieve more, but you simply want our faith. Help us to let go of our striving and this need to perform for you and for others. We know you want more than good deeds and religious acts. You want our belief in your promises. You are a God of grace and love. Your will runs deep, and there is no limit to your mercy and forgiveness, and we thank you for it, Lord. You seek reconciliation with all of your children through faith in Jesus. We thank you for canceling a debt that we never could have paid, and for the crediting our faith as righteousness in Christ Jesus, and we thank you for it, Lord. And Father God, I ask, oh God, as we come believing with our faith, oh God, help us with our unbelief, oh God. Increase our faith right now, Lord. And we just want to say thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. If you will say, I will rest in the assurance of salvation. I will stand on the promise that my debt has been paid. I will no longer feel as if I am falling short or not enough. My faith has been credited to me as righteousness through Christ Jesus. Amen. Excuse me. Amen, amen, amen. If you decree that over your life, may it be done unto you according to your faith. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Just taking a little bit of water. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. We'd like to hear from you. Yes, we'd like to hear your comment, and we'd like to hear whatever your question is that we may answer. Amen. And trusting God for the answer. Amen. The Bible says in the Message Bible, in Isaiah 54:17, I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. Isaiah 54:17 says, in the Message Bible, I will see to it that everything works out for the best. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So understanding this, and if you are in the King James Version or the New King James Version, your version may read a little bit different. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. That's Isaiah 54:17. That's in the New King James Version. But as you can see, the difference in the translation in the Message Bible, it says, I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. God will bring good from evil. Amen. God will bring good from evil. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Having an unshakable faith, church. Joseph's story in the Bible is abandonment. Joseph's story is one of abandonment. As we talk about unshakable, we're still talking about the promises of God, but when we go a little bit deeper and understand it, have an unshakable hope, because some people they'll lose all hope when their situation changes. But when you have faith in God, when you stand on the promises of God, your hope in the Lord cannot be shaken. So now you're standing with unshakable faith. So Joseph's story is one of abandonment. His brothers disliked his dreams and swagger, and decided to throw him in a pit and feed him to the wild animals. His father Jacob is tellingly, you know, unmentioned. So if Jacob ever raised a concern, we don't read about it in the Bible. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of rape, and her husband took her side over Joseph, tossing him in prison for a crime he didn't commit. Yet it was through suffering that Joseph came to be God's tool of rescue to the Hebrew people. Amen. So Joseph went from prison to a palace. He interpreted the dream that forecasted a famine, and Pharaoh promoted him to prime minister, where Joseph successfully navigated the crisis and saved not just the Egyptians, but the family of Jacob. So later Joseph would tell his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. And we see this in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, if you want to write this down for reference, to go back and read it for yourself, or we can read it now together in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, and I'll give you a chance to get there for you. You can lay your eyes to it, highlight it for yourself to be able to share. So the Bible says in Genesis, again, chapter 50, verse 20, and this is a New King James Version. I'll read it to you. Here, I was reading it from the NIV, but I'll read it from the New King James Version for those of us that are following along in the New King James Version, or the King James Version may read a little bit different. The Bible said, but as for you, you meant evil. Let me read 19. 19 says, Joseph said to them, and he's talking to his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. So we see it here in the Bible. So can he not do the same for you? Can he not do the same for us? Maybe you weren't thrown in a jail, but you were placed in a hospital, a bankruptcy court, or then again, maybe you were thrown in jail and you are wondering, does God care? Scripture says, Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Amen. God maintains everything, and he uses everything to accomplish his will. Only in heaven will we be able to see God's purposes. Between now and our homecoming, we can only do what Joseph did. Amen. We can trust. We can wait. We can pray. And we can believe. Amen. When we look at the promises of God in Genesis 50 through 20 to 21, and I just read those scriptures to you, and understand the promise of God that God made to Joseph. Hallelujah. And Nehemiah chapter 9 and 6, the Bible says, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas, all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. So understanding what the scripture is saying here tonight, church, it all is in God's hand. He is the creator of all, in all, for all. We serve a God that's all-knowing, all-seeing, everywhere God. So there's nothing that God cannot do for us, for his children, those that believe and stand on his promises. Amen. For he's not like man that he should lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 3 in the NLT that we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Amen. Romans 5 and 3. Hallelujah. If you're writing it down tonight, Romans 5 and 3. And I was reading it from the NLT, but I'll read it from the New King James Version as well. The New King James Version reads in Romans 5 and 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Amen. Knowing this, hallelujah, knowing this, whatever you're going through, whatever we're going through, and understanding whatever we've been through and seeing where we're out now, how God has brought us out, amen, how God has built us, amen, how God has strengthened us in those trials and in those tribulations, how God sustained us while we were going through. Suffering was the rule rather than the exception in the first century for Christians. Paul tells us that in the future we will become, but until then we must overcome. Amen. This means we will experience difficulties that help us to grow. It helps us to grow. We rejoice in suffering, not because we like pain or deny its tragedy, but because we know God is using life's difficulties and Satan's attack to build our character. My Lord, my God. See, the problems that We run into, we develop our perseverance, so which in turn will strengthen our character. It'll deepen our trust in God and give us a greater confidence about the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's enough to shout about today. Amen. Just thanking God because God has a plan that is greater for us. We may not understand and there's a lot to go through, but there's greater. You're coming out in a wealthy place. You're coming out stronger. You're already victorious while you're going through and you're going in. And God is just strengthening you and preparing you for what he has and sustaining you for you to know, to witness, hallelujah, the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Ephesians, if you go to the book of Ephesians, we're going to wrap up here. We're going to take any questions or comments. Amen. We're going to pray the promises of God as we close out here in our Bible study. Hallelujah. If you go over to Ephesians with me, the book of Ephesians, and actually chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'll give you all time to get to Ephesians. I know I've been going a little back and forth in these different chapters, but if you just follow me on in and follow me on through tonight, I thank God for you. Again, it's the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. All right, I hope you all are there. And we're going to be in verse 11 and 12. So that's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. 11 through 12. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Verse 12 says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Amen. To the praise of his glory. So God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world, just as he planned to do long ago. God is sovereign. He is in charge. Hallelujah. When your life seems chaotic, rest in his truth. Rest in his promises. Jesus is Lord and God is in control. God's purpose to save you cannot be thought, no matter what evil Satan may bring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. As we wrap up here, you all, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1. If not, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray God's promises. Amen. We're going to decree and declare over our lives in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 at this time. If you are online listening, give us a call at 845-277-9213. Amen. And press 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you're in need of prayer here as we wrap up, press 1. We want to pray for you and pray with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, I'm Apostle Tawanika Manning. And Pastor Manning, our senior pastor, he's not in today. He's working at this hour. And we pray for him and lift him up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right, so let us pray. God, we believe you are sovereign over our life. You made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're outside of time. You know everything that will happen, and you have planned it. And according to your purpose and will, amen, in the name of Jesus. It is not always easy for us to trust in your sovereignty. We sometimes wonder if you are about us, if you care about us and what's happening. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for times when we may doubt your ways and your goodness. Restore our faith on today, oh God, in you when, hallelujah, when it is weak, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to seek you more, amen, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, guide us during the difficult times. Give us hope as we pray and wait on you, oh God. Remind us of your power and authority so that we will trust your ways even when we can't see where the path before us is going, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, we're so grateful that you are in control. We thank you for your promises to turn evil into good. Amen. May we trust in that promise today even more. And we thank you for it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. For God be the glory. Amen. Amen. We thank God on tonight. Amen. Though we leave this car, but never the presence of God, standing on the promise of God that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. That God is with us. Amen. Say, if God be for you, who can be against you? Decree and declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The victory is already won. Hallelujah. We are on the winning side. Amen. And we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bless everyone here on the line today and all their purpose, their heart to be on tonight, oh God. I pray that you touch every situation, oh God. Those of us that are needing the healing, oh God, we pray let healing take place right now. Let healing spring forth speedily in our bodies, oh God. Let our hearts be with the rhythm of life, oh God, bringing healing to the entire part of our body. Lord, we pray for restoration right now, oh God. Restore our health, oh God. Restore our strength, oh God. Restore our finances. Restore our relationships. Restore the ministries, oh God. Restore our businesses, amen. Oh Lord, we just want to say thank you for restoration right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you strengthen all that's on the line. Lord, let us receive supernatural strength, oh God. Help us to seek you more, Lord. Restore the prayer life in the home, in the workplace, in the schools, oh God. And we thank you for it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. If you repeat after me on tonight, say, I will. I will trust God in difficult seasons. I will wait and pray and believe. I will place my hope in this truth. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amen. And I believe and I receive it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone on tonight that's on this line and on this line. I decree and declare the blood of Jesus Christ covers us and protects us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, God shall condemn. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless your holy name. I hope you all were able to receive on tonight. If you came in a little bit late, you can always go back and catch up on the parts that you missed in our lesson on tonight at blogtalk.com/the preacher and the pastor. And you can click on tonight's Bible study and be able to retrieve all that you missed out on. Again, we thank God for you on tonight. We do have our play coming up here through our company, Good Comedy, on next Saturday, August 13th. What goes on in the pastor study part two? What goes on in the pastor study stays in the pastor study part two. If you missed part one, we'll catch you up at the beginning of the show. We'll do a recap of what happened in part one so that you'll be ready to enjoy part two with us. Those tickets are pre-selling at $25. So get those tickets. You have all the way up to next Friday to get your tickets for the pre-sale price at the door. It's $35. God bless you. God keep you. We hope to see you here on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. God bless you. We love you. We thank God for you. It's all in Jesus' name. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil is already defeated, and you're victorious in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all.
Oh,
have a good night.
I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear you say, well.
Give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him. And I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. Name.
brother look gone with a passion. Can't get you in the gate, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace, sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed up for all of my days, I'm terrible to at least I'm breathing, yeah.
Get there on a great day that when I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout.